Sunday, March 4th, the Knoxville Symphony Chamber Orchestra will continue its Chamber Classic Series at the Bijou Theater in music of Bach, Stravinsky, Theophanidis, and Mozart. This concert will be led by the KSO's music director, Aram Demirjian, who's joined me in the studio today. How's it going, Aram?
Hi, Garrett. It's good to be back in studio with you.
So in addition to leading the KSO, you work with many groups, including some of the school orchestras here, and I understand there's a side-by-side concert coming up.
Indeed, there is. Education is among the most important, I would say, part of our mission at the KSO, and one of the many education activities that the orchestra and our musicians engage in is what we call side-by-side concerts, which basically means a large number of KSO musicians, in this case 19 string players from the KSO, we will be quite literally sitting side by side at Bearden High School. And there's a rehearsal cycle that happens over the weeks leading up to the concert where I conduct this combined orchestra of students and professionals in rehearsal. And there is very direct hands-on mentorship that gets to happen so that these high school students can really receive professional training in orchestral performance from these seasoned veterans.
Yeah, and I'm so glad to hear you say that you consider it, you know, one of the most important things the KSO does. I remember, you know, being in school when members of the Memphis Symphony Orchestra would come and visit us. It was so exciting for me. Do you have any memories of meeting professional musicians as a kid?
I do. I was very fortunate growing up in that, I studied on Saturdays at New England Conservatory Preparatory School, and I got to go to the Boston University Tanglewood Institute when I was 16 years old. So I was very lucky in that I had a lot of access and exposure to really incredibly talented and generous professional musicians from really a very young age, and that left an incredible mark on me. I mean, I think the most inspirational figure for me, whom I, again, very fortunately had the opportunity to meet and get to know on a relatively frequent basis, was Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, wow.
Because I went to the same school as one of his kids for a brief period of time. And, he's sort of the gold standard when you talk about this. I mean, and the only reason I bring up a name that revered is because, you know, he has this incredible commitment to education and to, education for all ages, really. He is the perfect example of, being kind of a generous soul as an artist. And that's always been very, very informative to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, supplementing a young musician's education is, of course, attending concerts, I believe, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and talk about this concert coming up. So once again, we have music by Bach on this program. And I asked William Schaub the last time he was here what he thought about the importance and significance of Bach over two centuries later. But what's your opinion on that matter?
Bach is a truly indispensable composer, and it's easy to speak in hyperbole about mm-hmm. things like that. But Bach is pretty much agreed upon to be, at the vanguard of our modern conception of traditional harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a brilliant level of inventiveness to his use of harmony and to his use of different musical voices and how they interact. On our last program, which was very much a program of 20th and 21st century music,
mm-hmm.
but I always contended that really it was yet still the Bach double violin concerto that sounded the most cutting edge
yeah.
of all the pieces on that program. And Bach just has such an incredibly vast output. And I think inventiveness is the word that I keep coming back to with him. He wasn't listening to the classics. He was writing them.
Yeah.
And, he has inspired generation after generation of composers right all the way up into the present. Even if their music doesn't sound anything like Bach, he's just so, he is such a source of education for so many musicians. And it's no accident that there is an entire school of music education built around, Bach is the source material for it. And that's how I was educated. So Bach is very important to me.
Yeah. And in addition to Bach, another very famous composer represented on this program is Mozart. You know, when I think about Mozart's symphonies, we'll be performing his final symphony. I always question, you know, why do we focus so much on the symphonies of Beethoven, but we don't really talk about the symphonies of Mozart as often? What do you think about that?
That's a really good question. I think Mozart's symphonies get a little bit less attention than Beethoven's symphonies, partially because Mozart excelled in so many different genres. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, at his core, I would argue that he was an opera composer.
I agree, yeah.
And you can hear the echoes of operatic style, you know, of his time in his symphonies, certainly, you know, but also, you know, in his piano concerti, he wrote 27 piano concerti, many of which are brilliant and are performed even more frequently than his symphonies are. And then on top of that, that's not even considering his contribution to the string quartet repertoire, the vastness of his output, and not even considering his church music and the Requiem and the C minor mass. It takes a little bit of focus away from his symphonies. And then on top of that, you have Beethoven who comes along afterwards, and you have composers who come along after Mozart who are much more clearly this idea of being a symphonist, a composer of symphonies,
right,
which is something that didn't really exist in Mozart's time. And so, you know, you have Beethoven, and then you have Brahms, and then you have Tchaikovsky, and you have these, you know, more monolithic seeming pieces, and you usually only program one symphony on a concert.
Right. So let's move on to closer to our era here. You're featuring the music of composer Christopher Theofanidis, his muse. Could you talk a little bit about this composer? I'm sure he's a less familiar composer to many people.
Well, you know, Christopher Theofanidis, he is a really truly excellent composer of our time. He is a part of what is now referred to as the Atlanta School of composers, which are composers that are really championed by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra for many, many reasons. But one of the most important is what their music director Robert Spano calls the primacy of melody.
Yeah.
In the music, Theofanidis is one of them. Adam Schoenberg, who is familiar to your listeners, is another one. Jennifer Higdon, Michael Gandolfi, whose music I'm a big fan of. But the reason why this particular piece by Theofanidis is on the program goes back to Bach, and the first half of this program really functions as as a unit, in that you have the Bach Brandenburg Concerto No. 3, and then you have two pieces written, either 200 or nearly 300 years after, that are directly inspired by Bach's Brandenburg Third Concerto. You have Stravinsky's Concerto in E flat, Dumbarton Oaks, which Stravinsky was kind of cagey about its direct tie to Brandenburg III. He's, you know, he kind of, when asked about it, he said, the extent to which the opening theme of the first movement is an homage to Bach's Third Brandenburg Concerto, it's in the perception of the listener, whatever, but you look at it, and it was, you know, I mean, just the instrumentation of the piece, the way it's structured, is clearly a nod to Bach. Stravinsky was one of these composers who truly revered Bach and owed so much to him. And then you also have another piece inspired again by Bach's Brandenburg III in Christopher Theofanidis's Muse. And he wrote this as part of a large commissioning project by the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, which is an unconducted chamber orchestra in New York. They were calling it the New Brandenburg Project. And they commissioned six living composers, to write pieces of music that were inspired by the six Bach Brandenburgs, whether it was, you know, by the structure of them or by the instrumentation of them. And they performed them side by side with Bach's pieces. And I learned about this through the Spring for Music Festival, which unfortunately no longer exists. But in the case of this piece by Theofanidis, you have an all-strings piece, just like Brandenburg III. And, you have references to different musical motifs that are present in Brandenburg III, and you have references to pieces by Bach that are not included in Brandenburg III. And so, you know, we talk about composers across generations revering Bach. You have Theofanidis, who's calling this piece Muse, and the Muse is Bach.
Yeah. This sounds like a really great program. So I usually try to save my most interesting question for the end. When we talk about Stravinsky, a lot of people, you know, automatically go to his Rite of Spring. But one thing I usually think about when I think about Stravinsky is his infamous arrangement of the national anthem. And as a Bostonian, I'm sure you're well familiar with this story. So my question is, over the years, more recently specifically, there's been a lot of conversation about the national anthem, how we should deal with it. Should we be rearranging it? What's your idea on that? Maybe a little off topic, but still interesting, I think.
You know, I think that there are a lot of really interesting musical takes on the national anthem. I mean, yeah, in the case of the Stravinsky arrangement of the national anthem, it was, yeah, it was, I think he was actually arrested by the Boston Police Department as a result of writing an arrangement of the national anthem that did not necessarily use the contemporary harmonies. I go and listen to that Stravinsky arrangement of the national anthem, and to modern ears, current ears, it doesn't sound controversial at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, treating the national anthem as a piece of music, if it is done thoughtfully and contributes interesting commentary toward the whole discussion of, you know, what it means to people and to different groups of people. Personally, I think that is, that's a very positive thing. You know, there's a piece that is on our season next year called Banner by Jesse Montgomery, which does exactly what we are talking about. And it gives the national anthem sort of an Ivesian treatment in that it, you know, takes different fragments of this melody that we all know and, you know, and develops them the way you would, you know, any melody that you take and develop and overlays them with other melodies, you know, whether they be, you know, civil rights songs or hymns. And the whole idea is, as the composer put it, to look at, you know, what this idea of the land of the free and the home of the brave means. And, you know, there's no conversation about our national identity that I think is bad.
I agree with that. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And we look forward to this concert on Sunday.
Thank you, Garrett.
The Knoxville Symphony Chamber Orchestra will perform works of Bach, Mozart, Theophanidis, and Stravinsky at the Bijou Theater this Sunday, March 4th at 2:30 p.m. More information on this concert and tickets can be found at knoxvillesymphony.com.